Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Get your books and turn to page 113. Page 113. Glory to His name. Let's everybody stand and sing now. Page 113. All right, on the first now. Down at the cross where the Savior died. Down where for cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Sing it now. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus, so sweet. Abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Sing it out. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood of life. Glory.
All right, let's sing the chorus now. Sing the chorus again.
Oh, glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied.
Oh, I'd sing that again one more time. Sing it.
There's glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
Amen. Glory to His name. Amen. Amen. That's good. Y'all sounding good this morning.
Troubles brought me to my knees, but I just came to talk with You, Lord. I have no selfish motive in mind. just want to thank you for the other times. I just came to talk with you,
God still. to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I tell you, I like it when the Lord meets with us. And he does. If we're faithful, he's always faithful. But if you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 1, please. Colossians chapter 1. I want to speak to you for a few moments on a topic that I did discuss with you about 4 years ago, talking about a worthy wall. A worthy wall. That's Colossians chapter 1. A worthy wall, or a worthy wall. Now, when we think of worthiness, we think of deserving. First thing that kind of comes into our head when we talk about the definition of worthy or worthiness, but it goes beyond that. This definition of worthy also means having worth. It means having merit or value. Speaks of being honorable or admirable. And then lastly, it speaks of deserving. So when the Bible speaks of worthy or worthiness, its spectrum is widespread. I was reading over in Psalm chapter 18 today, where it said, the Lord is worthy of praise. You know why he's worthy of praise? It's because he meets and exceeds the last definition given to you this morning, which was he is deserving of praise. He deserves it. We can't praise him enough. We come close to reaching enough, the bar is just moved a little further up because he is so holy and so deserving. But we need, Christians, to focus and remind ourselves that it's our duty to walk a worthy walk for the Lord. Not a deserving walk, because I don't believe we could ever meet that. I don't believe we could ever be deserving enough outside of the grace and mercy of God. We could never meet the criteria of worthiness. But nevertheless, there is a worthy walk that we can walk. There is the value. We can have value in our walk. We can walk honorably or admirably in our walk. So in that context, we need to walk a worthy walk. We need to walk a walk of humility. Am I loud enough? Y'all can hear me, right? We need to walk a walk of humility. Ephesians 4:23 and 24 kind of gives us a picture of that. When it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to walk with the spirit of humility, not this fake humility. Not walking around with your shoulders slumped over all the time and your jaw dragging the ground and a frown on your face. And, oh, I sure am humble. That's not what I mean. But there is a true walk of humility, understanding in this way that we have something to contribute to the cause of Christ even though we're not deserving to do so. So we need to walk, a humble walk. You awake out there this morning? We need to walk a humble walk. Beat the pride out of our lives, so to speak. feet. Take the eyes out of our lives and look forward to what God would have us to do. Then we need to think about walking a pure walk. Romans 13, 13 and 14 says, "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." If there's something in our lives that we know is lustful or does not glorify God, we're not to put it on. We're not to make provision for it. I want to give a simple illustration. You know, I am addicted to ice cream. And for years, I have enjoyed ice cream. And I'd go get 2 half gallons at a time. And really, to be honest with you, I would get them on Sunday evening after church, because that's when they were on sale. But they didn't usually make it to Tuesday or Wednesday. I mean to tell you, I love ice cream and still do. But I'm getting fat. And so I said, I've got to stop eating so much ice cream. And so I tried, but it was in the refrigerator. You're with me? It was in the refrigerator. And if it's in the refrigerator, I find myself being tempted to eat the ice cream, thusly losing my boyish figure. I had to stop making provision for the flesh. Are you with me? I stopped buying the ice cream and putting it in the... Watch your mouth. I stopped putting it in the ice, in the refrigerator, the freezer rather, because I knew that if it was there, Alton Midget would eat the ice cream. Now, I have snuck off a couple times in the late evening with Rachel and went up to Dairy Queen and got an ice cream cone. But it makes it more difficult to fulfill that desire of this flesh not to buy the ice cream and put it in the freezer. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, I had to stop making provision, making it so easy to fall off the wagon. And there may be some things in your life, maybe less, maybe more, than being addicted to ice cream. And maybe you need to make it less accessible in your life, or to your life, or to this flesh, so you can break that which God would have you break from. Hey, I think that ice cream illustration is perfect. I don't like it, but it's perfect. So we need to be humble, and ladies and gentlemen, we need to be willing to not make provision for this flesh. I want to move on, but I'm kind of anchored in here because I'm seeing in Christendom, in general, a desire to fulfill the flesh rather than the will of God in our lives. Then I believe that a worthy walk is a walk of contentment. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have." What we have, we're to be content. I want a better car, but I got to be content. I want a bigger house, but I've got to be content. I want nicer clothes, but I've got to be content. You with me? We need to be content with what God has given us. There's a spiritual attribute to this thing. It's not just envy from wanting something that you see others have. It drags us down spiritually, and we become less effective, or may I say less worthy. We become less valued in the work of the Lord when we get hung up on what we don't have rather than being content with what we do have. I might be wrong. There may be someone here that slept under a bridge last night. But I don't think there is. And if you did sleep under a bridge last night, if you will tell us, you won't sleep under a bridge tonight. But we need to be content with what God has given us. There may be someone here this morning, you're not content with the spouse God has given you. Well, I just want to say this. It could be a whole lot worse. You say, but it beats me once a day. Well, he could beat you twice a day. I'm just kidding. I'm not suggesting that you let a man beat on you. Ladies, if one of your men are beat on you, you come see me. I promise you, you'll have to beat on me too. I wouldn't give you 50 cents for a man that would have hit a woman. I'm serious. I cannot imagine hauling off, taking my fist, and hitting my wife. I can't imagine. But there are actually nut jobs out there that do that. You say, preacher, there might be a nut job in the congregation, and you just offended them. Some people need to be offended in life. If you hit a woman or hit your wife, you're crazy. And you need to be offended. Faith. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk to you about walking a worthy life in faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Christians, listen to me. We are to operate on a higher level than a non-Christian. A non-Christian deals with what they see versus what they see or they don't see it, and what they see is what they work with. But ladies and gentlemen, we're Christians, and we deal with a higher power. We live by faith. Are you saying financially we live by? Yeah, everything that we get financially is a gift from God, and it could be taken away tomorrow if he chose it. By faith, we say, Lord, we trust in you to make provision for us. Lord, I don't feel good today, but I'm going to push. I'm going to go. I'm going to serve you. By faith, we step out in service. I'm talking about an honorable faith. Faith that has value or merit. I'm sorry, but I cannot get over missionaries. I guess I can't get over them because we were one. And I watch missionaries working 9 to 5 or 9 to 8, working jobs and they've got a steady income. They know from week to week whether they're going to have money in the bank, that they are going to have money in the bank to pay those bills. And then they go, what, Lord? And they say, Lord, you want me to go? And next thing you know, these people that so many Christians think they're crazy, they still have a home to pay for. They still have cars to pay for. They still have children to eat, to feed, and the children need to eat. Hey, sometimes you got teenagers, you know what I mean? Yeah. Amen. Heard of eating your young sometimes. But sometimes, hey, they still have children to feed and to clothe, just like we do. And they go and they turn their back and say, I'm just going to trust God to make all that provision. Folks, that's faith. You say, well, that's stupid. Not when God tells you to do it, it's not. I watched my own dad do that when I was a little boy. Watched him leave a good-paying job, watched him stop dealing and dabbling in real estate, making good money, and so forth and so on, and turn his back on it. I was there that morning at 5 a.m. when we were getting in a truck to go to Canada to look over the mission field. And, I mean, and it was still dark outside, and a man came walking up our driveway, and I believe, if my memory serves me right, offered dad, and this was back in the early 70s, when a high five or low six-figure income meant something, and offered him a job with the Red Cross making that kind of money. And we were getting in the vehicle to go to Canada. I remember that as an eight-year-old boy. And dad telling that man, I'm not interested. Now, my dad's got a lot of faults. But I tell you, that's an act of faith. Some would say stupidity. But I think God calls it faith. I believe with all my heart there's a special, special reward for those missionaries that sell everything get on an airplane and land on a foreign field. They don't know the language. They don't know anybody there. But they're just there to share the gospel. I tell you, I believe it's a special place for those missionaries. Now, I'm going to get moving here, but don't worry. It's just a quarter till. Cool it. We're okay. Christians, are we willing to do what we need to do to walk by faith? God might not want us to sell our house. He might not want us to sell our cars. He might not want us to walk away from our steady income. But I tell you, we need to live our Christian walk by faith. Say, well, how can I do that where I am? How many times have you been in a crowd and you go, I wonder if that person's saved? Well, maybe by faith we can say, Lord, I believe you brought that person to my attention so I could share with them my testimony. And so by faith, not knowing if you're going to be rejected, spit on, laughed at, cussed at, you say, Lord, I'm just going to share my testimony with that person. And you go and you share your testimony with that individual, and they hear you, and then you leave. You don't know if it took or not. You don't know if they heard you. But by faith, the Bible tells us that God's word does not come back void. And so by faith, we say, God, they didn't respond. They weren't saved, but I want to trust that you use me today to bring that individual one step closer to you. Amen. I tell you, Christians, you need to wake up. I'm talking about a righteous walk. A righteous walk. A righteous walk. By grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What is them? Good works. It's not saying we're saved by good works. The verse before that tells us that we're not saved by our good works, that we'll never stand before God and boast that we made it, God, because we're so good. That will never happen. But God has ordained a walk for you and me. He has ordained works for us to accomplish, and we are to walk in them effectively and worthily. You're a hard crowd this morning. Worthy walk. A worthy walk in unity. Let your conversation, Let your life, let your pledge to God, let your citizenship be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. It becometh the gospel of Christ. It's suitable. It's worthily. It's worthy of the gospel of Christ. That our life, our pledge to God, our citizenship, did you hear me, Christians? That we are to live a life that is honorable to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about a worthy walk, a walk of gentleness found in Ephesians 4, 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherein ye are called. Listen, the author did not say the vocation which you could be called. He is making a statement, Westside Baptist Church, that each and every person here this morning has a call, has a direction, has an ordination laid upon them to do something for the cause of Christ. And he says, well, how do I do that? Well, you do it with gentleness, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. I'm talking about the worthy walk that is ordained by God for you and for me. A walk of joy and patience and joy. Colossians 10, chapter 1, verse 10, we go back to our text partially where it says that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now listen to this. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Ladies and gentlemen, we are to walk with all patience, longsuffering, and joyfulness. I'm not a patient person. I don't like waiting around. But God has beaten me up with this thing of waiting and waiting on Him and knowing His timing and perfect will. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that not only is there God's will, but there is a timing for God's will in your life. I don't know if I should
use this illustration. Let's go on.
Patience and joy. Pastor Payne and I were talking, and we have scheduled 3 leadership meetings, and we're going to have one. We have scheduled one, and had a situation of death or sickness, I can't recall, so we had to cancel it. Second one, and then the third one with severe sickness, and then the third with death. And in that meeting, we have a list of things that we know that we need to do for our leadership and the leadership needs to do for the Lord. And so I know that these things are a necessity for us to work on because it's in the Bible. But every time we set that meeting up, so far it has been canceled or rescheduled. And so when the last one, and we rescheduled the other two, but when the last one had to be canceled because of death, we didn't reschedule it. And I had been praying, God, when do you want that meeting to take place? When do you want it to take place? And you know what the Lord really spoke to me prior to that prayer? He said, everything that you and Pastor Payne are wanting to get done for the cause of Christ is right. But hang on. I'm working on things now. I'm dealing with hearts. I'm revealing things to your leadership. And when you have that meeting, their hearts will be receptive and prepared. Patience. It's not easy. But it's something we better get used to having, Christians. Because it sure does seem like the more we resist it, the more God beats us over the head with it. Amen. So I'm talking about a worthy walk. And because of time, I'm not going to go into everything. But I will tell you this. The worthy walk, I believe, the worthy walk, the walk having worth, merit, value, and the honorable, the admirable walk, I believe, consists of love. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to love each other. Westside Baptist Church, when a visitor walks in that door, we need to be all over them. I don't mean fake smiles, and I mean with a genuine love. You don't have to know them to have a godly love for them. It might be a lost person. It may be a drunk or a drug addict. We don't know what's going on in their lives, but we need to love all of them. We need to love each other. Every one of us are full of faults and insecurities and quirks. Every one of us have quirks, and we need to love each other where we are. I gotta tell you, last year, maybe the year before last, Brother Levi, I'm going to tell on you. It was pretty chilly outside, but it was warming up. And Brother Levi drove his motorcycle to church that day. He had his dress slacks on, dress shoes, dress shirt, tie, and a coat. And he pulled out in front of Lisa and I, not in front of us, but before us, leading out of the parking lot after church. And he's riding down the road, dress shoes sticking up in there like this, hairpiece blowing in the wind. I'm just kidding. I don't know if I hit that. His jacket's flying by, and his tie's flapping in the wind. And I said, you know, Lisa, not many people will dress up to get on a motorcycle to come to church. But I laughed in love. I mean it. I said, I love Brother Levi. We need to love each other. Even if we ride our motorcycles to church dressed up in a suit and tie, we need to love each other. I'm not going to talk to you about thankfulness this morning. I'm not, because we had a very poignant sermon a couple months ago on thankfulness. So I'm going to leave that alone, but I'm telling you that's part of a worthy walk. We need to be a light. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to walk as children of light. Can I ask you, I know this isn't popular preaching. You can go to the secular churches and they won't say this. They won't ask this question. If you're out in Walmart or Kmart or wherever you might shop or go or eat, do people know you are a Christian? Are we really a light? And I declare to you that if we are the proper light, people will look at us and know that we're Christians. I believe that. You know, years ago, I don't know if it's still there or not, but there in Seneca, South Carolina, we had a Kmart, and I was at the school, I was at the office working, and I left and went to Kmart, and I was in a pair of black or blue pants, and I had a white dress shirt on, no tie, white dress shirt, and I was walking around Kmart. And this woman ran up to me and she said, "Where's such and such?" And I said, "I don't know, ma'am." And she kind of looked at me like I was crazy, because I, the guy in the blue pants and the white shirt, did not know where such and such was. And she acted a little flustered. And then I realized that this woman thought that I was a manager at Kmart because I had the dress slacks and the shirt on. Well, she went away. It wasn't 3 minutes later, somebody else tapped me on the shoulder and wanted to know something about... They thought I worked at Kmart, for goodness sake. There's nothing wrong working at Kmart. I have friends that retired from Kmart, so it's a great company. But, and I was thinking, it made me think. I wonder, you know, this illustration would have been a whole lot better if I could have come, stood here today and said, they tapped on my shoulder and said, hey, are you a Christian? I mean, really, I mean, I wasn't doing anything that was wrong, but you know, and I got to tell you, I would have liked that a lot more. I was in the elevator one time at the hospital, and there were two women in the elevator, and they were going up, and they looked at me, they said, are you a preacher? I like that a lot better, personally. And they had a lost man, a loved one, that was about to die, and they wanted that individual spoken to, hopefully led to the Lord. I'm just saying that we need to be children of light. And you may not be an ordained minister, but the Bible has told us today, God's Word says that every one of you, within earshot of this message, you are ordained. God has an ordained plan written in stone for you and me, and we are to fulfill that ordained plan. And I'm asking you, Christians, are you doing that this morning? Can you truly say, preacher, I'm meeting the criteria of the ordained plan that God has for me? I got more message, but my patience has run out. Too long to the end of this. I'm cutting it short. Are we meeting? Are we fulfilling that which we are ordained by God to do? Is it yes or is it no? You remember a couple weeks ago? Well, no, it was a few months ago. I asked, we taught on Thanksgiving, and I said, who here will make a journal or write down at the end of the day your thanks and pray and give thanks to the Lord? And we had about 20, 25 say, yeah, I'll do that. Quick question, have you done it? A few weeks ago, we preached on quiet time with God. And at the end of the service, I said, who will tell me, preacher, I'll give 10, 15 minutes a day of quiet time with the Lord, reading, praying, meditating on His Word, listening for Him to speak to my heart, quiet time. I'm not going to ask how many have done that, but I will say this, about 90% of you raised your hand. You made a commitment. And I may say, you allowed yourself to be ordained to fulfill that commitment. Have you done that? Christians, I did not want to preach this message. Not that I have anything to apologize for. I'm not. But I know God told me to preach this message. It's Valentine's Day. My wife left the most beautiful card today sitting on the counter for me. I enjoy reading it, and at the very end, she's underlined some special parts. Not mushy parts, no way, but special parts. And I appreciated that card so much. I told her before we left the house, thank you. That card meant so much to me. It meant something. Now, you may be wanting to know, well, preacher, what did she think of your card? I didn't get her one. I'm spending my day tomorrow at the jewelry store. Where are you spending yours? You know what I mean by that? It meant so much to me, though. You know what it was? It was like a little note of recommitment. It was saying, I was ordained to be your wife, and I'm enjoying it. That's right. And I got to tell you, Christian, you're ordained. You are ordained to be something for God. Would you commit to it? Church, please. This thing is real. We are in a supernatural battle. And God needs strong men and women to stand up and be counted for Him. Not to be faithful so the preacher won't call you. Not, our job isn't to be faithful so the preacher pats us on the back, or be faithful so we don't get that phone call or that look. No. We are to do what we're to do because we are ordained. I am finished. I am done preaching and tearing into and pointing my finger about faithfulness. Christians, if you won't do it for God, you won't do it for me. And you won't do it for Pastor Payne. This is your Christian walk, not mine. I'm where I should be. I know where God wants me. And I know I'm in His will. What about you? I'm not trying to preach you into His will or tell you or talk to you or instruct you so you can do what I want you to do. Those days are over. I'm not going to go home and look at the ceiling and lose sleep because Christians have missed their ordination. I'm not going to. You are in God's hands. Are you mad at me? You're in God's hands. You're going to deal with Him. You're going to deal with me. I love you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. It's just this simple. Are we meeting? Are we fulfilling the ordination which God has laid out before us? You say, yeah, I'm doing this, and I'm doing. No, I'm not asking you that. I'm asking you if you are fulfilling the ordination that God has bestowed upon you. Are you doing everything that God wants you to do? Don't do it because the preacher wants you to do it. Don't do it because the deacon or the trustee or the Sunday school teacher or so-and-so. Or no. This is between you and God, old church. It's no longer. I'm taking myself out of the equation. Are you fulfilling the ordination that God has laid out for you? Just that simple. It's not complicated this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Pastor, come. I'm out of the way. Let's all stand.
We have been challenged this morning. I think every one of us, as we take inventory, or would take inventory, would say, there are things in our life that just need to be tightened up. It would be a good time just to come and talk to God about it. About your home, about your friends, about your needs, about your church. Would you just obey the Lord this morning as we begin to sing? Sing song. People already moving.
Have thine affections been nailed to the cross?
Just obey the Lord. That's right. Come, my Lord.
Is thy heart right?
We've been challenged this morning. We've been challenged this morning. We've been challenged
thou
today.
All things for Jesus but lost.
Is your heart right with God?
Is thy heart right with God?
Yes, 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 yes.
Is thy heart right
just obey the Lord.
Just obey the humble and lowly,
right
in the sight of God.
Keep on singing.